Before that, I was going to mention one other prayer request. We'd appreciate your prayers as we travel to LA on Friday and spend about 10 days there with the LA for Jesus street meetings. They've asked me to speak to the group as most of the evenings as they come back from the streets and gather there to give us some encouragement. So we'd appreciate your prayers in that. For a message this morning, I simply titled it, Trust the Lord. Trust is an interesting subject to think about. And as I prepared for this, I realized that I am going to cover so little of the subject of trust. How is it in your life this morning as far as trust? Do you think about trust, the levels of trust that you have? Who do you really trust? Where does your confidence, which is part of the definition of trust, where does your confidence lie this morning? Who can we trust? Trust is something that I believe is really, really unique. It takes a lot of time to build trust, even in situations where trust has not been broken. It still takes time to build a deep level of trust. And yet, trust can be broken so quickly. It can take almost a snap of a finger, and trust can instantly be broken. There is something else that I have found unique about trust, and that is God has created each of us with a personality that's a little bit different. Some people trust a lot quicker than others, and others are naturally not very trusting. I did not realize that until I took several personality tests by several different companies, and I found my type of personality. I don't trust people very quick. It takes me a long time to build trust. I've thought about that. Is it right or wrong? I don't think either is wrong. But I find it interesting. I look at people that trust very quickly, and I call them gullible, and they have a weakness. They sometimes can get taken advantage of very quickly because they tend to trust too quickly. However, those of you that trust very quickly probably look at personalities like me and say, you need to get over it and trust a lot quicker. So I think God has created us differently so that we can work together and maybe protect each other. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I believe that the writer here could be referring to trust being broken. How do you find it in your life? How do I find it? When someone has broken our trust, is it easy to trust again? I don't find it to be that way. Others can seem to trust that same individual, but for myself, it's like there's bars on a castle or bars on the bank across the window. There's just something that holds us back. We can forgive and we can continue to move on in life, but trust is not restored instantly. It sometimes takes years for trust to be restored. One of the thoughts that comes back to me time and time again in these situations is the question, am I being trustworthy? Am I being trustworthy? In these situations, I can often focus on the fact that my trust has been broken. but I forget the fact that perhaps I could have been untrustworthy as well. And maybe I have broken trust on the other side. And trust, broken trust goes both directions. Psalm 20, verse 7 gives this thought: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And I want us to think about something. I think sometimes we don't truly understand what trust really is. At least I don't. But trust is a gift. And we give it to each other. It can never be demanded. It can never be used as leverage. And it can be broken in an instant. And it could possibly take years to rebuild. And even the closest of friends will most likely break our trust at some point in life. And I don't know if this is true or not, but I believe it's what I am finding in my own life. Trust is often given in proportion to my own trustworthiness or my personal ability to be trusted. So in other words, I'm not going to trust at a higher level than I can be trusted. God never commanded us in the scripture to trust each other. God didn't write, I have not found a verse in the Bible that says, trust the brotherhood, trust your brother, trust your sister, trust the church. He only commands to love each other. You ever stop and think about that? There is a command to trust, and it's to trust God, but not each other. But we are commanded to love each other. We trust God and love people. And then, only then, as a byproduct of love, we often choose to trust others when we feel their love and goodwill reciprocating back to us. Trust cannot be based on their perfect performance. If we're going to wait to trust somebody until they can perform perfectly, we will never trust at all. And I don't know, there's some of this that I can understand in my head, but to put it in words and say what I'm thinking is difficult. But I believe that I can have perfect, if I can have perfect trust in God, it'll change the way I trust other individuals. I don't know if that makes sense to you or not. But there is an aspect of when I can completely trust God, I am not depending on others' performances anymore. And this thing of trusting by performance is, I believe, what catches us so many times and breaks our trust. But if my trust is in God, then suddenly it's more difficult for my trust to be broken with other people. I believe that God has my good in mind when I trust Him, and events that are happening are for the perfecting of those involved. And as I, as an individual, itself is suddenly taken out of the picture, and God becomes the focus. Life is simply a span of time where God works with each one of us to build our trust in Him and to build our love for each other. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. I want to start here. What I have to share this morning is nothing new. It is simply looking into the Word of God and trying to understand what God is teaching us once again this morning. I want to start here in Proverbs chapter 1. This is still not my text. We'll get there. I just want to start here and lay a foundation for our thoughts of trust. Verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. He's saying here that the fear of the Lord, what kind of fear is he talking about? Is he talking about a fear where we tremble and are afraid of God? No. He's talking about a reverential awe. Just stopping in life. Maybe it's at night. This often works for me as I stop at night and I look up. It's a little bit hazy this time of year, but I still think we've got a better view of the stars this time of year than what a lot of people do. But you stand there and gaze at the heavens and you look at this expansive creation that God has created. It just fills me with a reverential awe of God. As we think about, and you just let your mind go with that, and you think about all that God has created. And yet he has an interest in a relationship with me. Enough interest that he allows things into my life to build my trust in him. I feel like lately I've been coming back to this thought that our perspective of God changes our perspective of life. And it's my burning desire that as difficult situations arise for myself and each one of us, that we'd be able just to come back to this fact. That if I could look at this from God's perspective, I would see it so much differently. So often we as humans, when we're in a difficult situation, we can only see about this much of it. We don't stop and think about the big picture. We don't stop and think about God perfecting our lives and trying to help us build our trust in him. We don't stop and think about that this is a situation that God is wanting to remove the humanity out of me and put more of him in me. There is so much of a bigger picture in life than is what is happening to me as an individual. In fact, there is a war being fought between good and evil. And each individual soul is faced with choices of which path it'll take. And God is, I so much appreciated that song about heaven, because ultimately God is preparing every single person for a time of eternity with him. And those that have already committed their lives to him, he is asking us to reach out to those that haven't made a commitment and prepare themselves for a time in eternity. There's a huge picture going on. Not only is God working with me as an individual, he's working with us as a church, as a community, as the whole world. He desires to take each soul into an eternity with him, but there is an enemy out there that's trying to destroy that plan. And these individual choices lead to a pattern in life that as the longer we live in it, it kind of becomes like a groove. It's more difficult to remove ourselves out of it if it's the wrong groove. Let's turn over to chapter 3. This is the text I would like to look at this morning. Maybe this is where your minds went already as soon as I mentioned about trusting the Lord. Verse 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In that first phrase, I believe that trust begins, trust comes with a reverential fear and awe of God. Just I know I started into this earlier, but just think about this God that is calling you and is calling me to place our trust in him. Lately, a couple times, our family has been discussing knowing the future. Why doesn't God allow us to know more of the future? Why does God simply ask us to simply trust the rest of today, tomorrow, and however many years we have? Why does God just ask us to just simply lay that in His hands and allow it to work it out? And one of my answers to that is, if I knew what was in the future, I don't know if I'd have the courage to continue on. There's things that have happened. If 5 years ago I would have known we're gonna unfold and take place, I don't know if I'd have had the courage to make the choices I did. And I think God understands that we as humans cannot handle knowing our future. I'm talking about the little details in life. We have this God that cannot tolerate sin in His presence. And yet, just as holy as He is, His heart is just as full of love for His crowning work of creation. Think about creation. And God spoke this entire world that we know of into place. Just think about the power of that. He just spoke it into place. We could go back and read Genesis 1, where God created the world, but we know it well enough. And you just think about that, and you think about the power that God has. He could just say, let there be light. Let there be a sun, moon, and stars. And there is such detail to them that man can build calendars and know when events are going to happen. And they can predict when things are going to happen in the heavens because of the stars. They can predict when a comet is going to come around again because of the detail of this God. He is so detailed that He notices when one sparrow falls to the ground. Think about that. An insignificant wee little bird. As a young boy, I shot as many of them as I could because they were just a pest. And yet God knows when one of those falls to the ground. God has our very hairs of our head numbered. Some of us, that's not real difficult. We don't have a lot of hair to number, and some of you all have a lot more to number. But God can just, He knows me as an individual, and He has that number instantly. And then I and we struggle to place our trust, in our full trust, in this all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God. This God that can just speak and a tremendous creation happens. A God that is so full of love that He sent His only Son to die for us. And then I struggle to trust. I know that we're human. There's another key to this trusting the Lord. Here in verse 5, it's all part of this first phrase, and He uses a small three-letter word. And that's all. That takes all of our very self nature out of the picture. God isn't saying, you know, you only need to trust me with a quarter of your heart, or half, or even maybe three quarters, or 15/16. No, He wants all. He wants our complete trust in Him. God wants all of our heart or nothing. Actually, I believe He wants all of our heart, but He won't accept just a halfway commitment. Our old nature since the fall has always believed the deception that Satan has first presented to Eve. And that is one of the deceptions I see is, ye shall be as gods. There is something so tantalizing, and I stop and think about Lucifer, when he fell from heaven, when he lifted his heart up in pride. And I grapple with that. How could have that entered into his heart? I can sort of understand it with fallen man. There's something in that thought of being a God. We think of God as who He is, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. And there's something tantalizingly pulling about that we, Satan deceived us into thinking that we can be our own gods. We can have that power. We can have that knowledge. We can be everywhere present. it's a false concept, but it's there, and I believe that's what pulls our heart from completely and fully trusting in God. We want to be this God, maybe just a fraction of this God that can still be in control. We can still direct our lives. We can still pull the strings and make things happen. But God is saying, no, you are my creation, and I want your entire heart. I want everything. And this writer says the foundation of knowledge is with a fear of God. If we want to have part in this knowledge of God, it starts with a reverential awe and understanding of God. This last part of this verse, lean not unto thine own understanding, goes right along with this thought of giving our entire heart. Our own understanding is always self-focused, self-preserving view of life. So when we're depending on our own knowledge and our own understanding, it's always about a self view. What do I need to better myself? What do I need to protect myself? It is a self-focused. But when we give God our heart and fully trust Him, there's a change of perspective. Suddenly it's not about me. It's about how can I serve God in His kingdom. The focus just turns off of me and goes to God. And I believe this is where the going gets tough. This is real life. This is what Jesus is talking about when He talks of crucifying self daily and following Him. I didn't look up that verse to get it quoted right, but he says about taking up his cross daily and following Him. That means getting rid of all my own agendas, and I'm going to trust. That following, I believe, speaks of a deep trust that Jesus is going to lead us in the path that is right. And that path that He's going to lead us is to eternal life. We can have confidence. Verse 6 starts out, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. I think this brings so much perspective to this study. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. You see, sometimes it can be hard to... How does trusting God really work out in life? Let's think about it this way. God has given us each talents and abilities. Some of you are much better at doing things in life, whether it's building, whatever job you find yourself, you're better at that. God has given you a gift or a talent. He's given us all abilities. God doesn't want us sitting in our houses or tents on the recliner and say, I'm just trusting God will supply our needs. No, He has given us talents and abilities to do things. He's called each one of us to be stewards in life of what He has given us. He expects us to use and plan the physical and the spiritual things that He has given us. But in all our ways, as we do that, we acknowledge Him. We acknowledge that God has given me what I have, and I am going to use them for His purpose. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding as I plan my day. Not going to lean on just what I think is going to work out, but I'm going to acknowledge God and I'm going to trust, but at the same time I'm going to use the brain that He has given me to plan my day. And I believe we will be brought into account for how we have used both the physical and spiritual talents God has given us and abilities. But in simply living life, going about our daily work, He asks us to acknowledge Him in all our ways. We make our plans, Whether it's business, travel, whatever we do it according to the will of God. We know the principles in the Bible that he teaches us of how to live our lives, the things that he asks us to do, and we plan our days according to the will of God. And we make these plans. And at the end of making the plans, we say, if the Lord wills, we will go do this or that. And then, if things don't work out as we planned, how many of us get to the end of the day and we turn around and say, that day just did not go like I planned. I did not get anything accomplished on my to-do list that I had there. It went upside down. I think we all had days like that. But we still trust that God has a plan, and we rely on him through prayer, faithful brothers and sisters, to show us that plan. And I know that this is a lot easier said than done. This is real life of, I think, especially on the days that get turned around according to what we have planned. But I have found in my own life that if I live with this concept that if the Lord wills, it's not near as unsettling as if it's my own agenda and it doesn't work out. But this is what God is continually doing with us, so that our faith and trust grow deeper in him. In our humanity, when days go upside down, things don't work out, plans, disappointments, big, small, whatever, don't work out, it's easy in our humanity to allow bitterness and anger to grow. It comes natural. But it takes intentional choice to choose to trust God and say, you know what? I don't understand today why it went this way. I don't understand why life has handed me what it has. But I still am going to choose to trust God. End of verse 6 says, and he shall direct thy ways. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is directing your ways? This is not just a casual statement. God is not just casually saying, if you do this and this, then I'll direct your ways. No, it's a promise. This is a promise of God. If we can this morning fully trust God with entirely everything, getting our selfish nature crucified and out of our heart, He promises that he will give direction. He does not promise to give us what we want. Let's not get that mixed up. He doesn't say, okay, since you followed me, I'll give you what you want. He simply promises direction. And we can be confident this morning that this direction will be for our good. God will never direct us. If we are completely trusting in him, fully following him, he will never direct us in a path that will lead us away from him. And remember, we can be confident that the direction will bring honor and glory to God and will give us eternal life. There will be times that the path will lead in a direction that our humanity does not want to go. But if we can remember when we're going through those valleys that God is taking us through those valleys to prepare us for eternity, he's not doing it because he hates us. He is simply trying to get the humanity out of us and get his reflection in our hearts. And I just want us to think about some of these direction changes. How many times in the past when we reflect with some change of direction in life, you know, at the time it was extremely painful, maybe a very dark and discouraging time. And we just wondered, God, what do you have in mind? Why this? What good can ever come out of this? Those times should and most often bring us to a closer walk with God. And then we look back And we realized that if we had kept going on the direction that we wanted, it could have ended in disaster for us spiritually. Sometimes God stops things in our life because of our spiritual good. It may hurt us physically pretty bad, but spiritually we would have shipwrecked. And God stopped us. He changed the direction so that at least for eternity we could have life with Him. Yes, we might suffer physically and things may not turn out like we want them to, but God keeps our spiritual good at the forefront. So as you think about trusting God, I encourage each of us to be willing to open our entire heart 100% in trust. Remember that God has our spiritual good in mind, not necessarily our physical. And God is preparing us for an eternity with Him. Let's kneel for prayer.